To continue with that, we're going to specifically be looking at the phrase one another. I thought it was interesting as I was preparing this lesson on the family. I had a whole, I guess, 4 pages worth of one another verses, and I had to cull them down from about 8 pages. I'll only still go 22 or 23 minutes tonight, so don't worry. We're not going to be here all evening. But I went home, and I was looking at Carolyn's notebook. She was doing a study, and she had what she's referred to for years as her one another verses, and had all of them listed out. And so I thought that was interesting. When we talk about the church family, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 this morning, and it talked about the family of God, and that certainly is what the church is. But now I want to look at the idea of how the church family is to interact. We talked this morning that it is not like some have made it to where it's become some type of a twisted cult, to where the church somehow interacts and controls people's lives. That is not what the church has ever been meant to do. Now, we are to be under the control of God. But this is something that is a private matter between us and Him as far as that type of service. But the social part of our service is the church, and the church is referred to in many ways as our family. And so we want to look at that tonight. I'm going to start with just an overview of the one another passages that I've looked at. If you want to wait for a moment before you start turning over, it might save your fingers, because I'm just going to hit the verses really quick in the order that they come in as far as the scriptures in the New Testament. And then, like I say, we're going to go back and talk about them. But just listen to these one another passages. It begins in John chapter 13, before Christ has died and he has his apostles surrounding him. And he says in verse 34 of John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." In verse 16, it says, "Live in harmony with one another." Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, "Stop passing judgment on one another." Romans chapter 15 and verse 7, "Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you." Romans 16:16, this is one of my favorites when I was in college, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." We'll talk about that a little bit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "Serve one another in love." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Ephesians 4 and verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore let us encourage one another and build each other up." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, "But encourage one another daily." Hebrews 10 now in verse 24, "Spur one another on towards love." Verse 25, "Encourage one another." James 4:11, "Do not slander one another." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, "Love one another deeply from the heart." 1 Peter 3 verse 8, "Live in harmony with one another." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And then 2 John verse 5, "I'm not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. Well, as we go through this list, and we see how the church is to be with each other, with one another, we really can see that family element. One of the things I loved about growing up in a close family was how my mom and dad really set a tone for the way that we were to treat one another. There was a security when we were at home. There was a love when we were at home, a kindness for each other. They had certain standards among us three children that we were expected to keep amongst one another, at least in their presence. But the idea is, when we talk about the family of God, the church that God adds us to upon our obedience to the gospel, and we talked about that this morning, then there becomes an obligation to each other. And the obligation is a good one. I've thought about this for years. I think all of us who are older and some of you who are now going through this will relate to this. When you're in school, especially when you're in junior high and high school, there's a desire to fit in and to be popular. I'm not sure that ever goes away as we get older. If we really want to know how to be popular, we can study these one another verses, because they really do tell how to build each other up, how to interact with each other. The church is meant to be a solace to the people here on earth. There's a lot of challenges here on earth. It's also meant to be very active. Mentioned this morning, while we're family, it does not mean that we insert ourselves into other people's business uninvited, but at the same time, we're praying for each other. We're thinking about each other. We're concerned when somebody is sick. We're especially concerned when somebody is struggling spiritually. That's what family does for each other. I mentioned that in our family, we're really privileged to have each other praying for each other every day. We reset it every year for the item that each one of us would like the rest of the family to be bringing before God. When we're praying for each other on a daily basis, it's hard not to be close to each other, because you're thinking about each other. You've got an affection. You've got a genuine concern. I was thinking about that when our two babies were born recently in the congregation. It was so wonderful to see Kimberly and Todd's new baby for the first time this morning. We've been praying for her and for Kimberly ever since before her auto accident. But to see God allow Kimberly to recover so well and to see that baby so well taken care of, and with us praying for her, she's part of our family. And there's an affection there. And I hope that's what you can see from these one another passages as we get into them, that God wants not just an association of people who are of a like mind. He wants a group of people that really have compassion for each other, who care for each other, who are concerned. John chapter 13 and verse 34, once again, Jesus obviously has not died yet, because he's at what has been called the Last Supper, but he really is setting the table for what the church needs to be, and he says, I'm giving you a new command, love one another. Well, that part's not a new command, is it? You go back in Leviticus and you see that we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But he goes on to say, love one another as I have loved you. And this is significant. This is new, because Jesus is just about to give his life on the cross for those disciples who are with him at that time, for us today, for everybody through all time. And so when you have this standard as far as the way we are to view our Christian family, to love each other as Christ has loved us, that's the highest standard That's not something that's going to be accidental. That's something that we have to approach thoughtfully and work at. And he said, by this all men will know you that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you've ever been in a church setting where it just seems cold, and when services are over, stand back, because that people are going to be hitting the door. They can't wait to get out. That's not necessarily a family that has an affection for one another. Now, it may be that the preacher went on too long that day and they're starved to death. I understand that part, and so do you. Bless your hearts. There should be a warmth when we come together. And our love for each other, as Christ has loved us, will show men. They'll know that we're his disciples. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says love must be sincere. We can feel it when somebody is just uttering platitudes to us or flattery or whatever. Love has to be sincere, otherwise it's not love. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This idea of devotion to each other is so important. Honor one another above yourselves. This isn't saying that if somebody is trying to go into apostasy, if they're trying to bring something into the church that should not be done, that we're to honor their opinion. But it's this idea of honoring one another is having a high regard for each other. Enough so that we're concerned. They have a soul that's going to be in heaven for eternity or hell for eternity. And so we should have that honor for one another, that there's that genuine putting their soul in the proper place, maybe is a good way to put it. Verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. Sometimes we misunderstand this verse. It does not say to take care of every need that somebody has, because we may not be capable of doing that. But we've got something that we can share that will help ease that need. And if enough of us do that, then their needs will be taken care of. It does not say share with God's people who are in want. if you wanted to look at the list of our wants, it would be never ending. But there are needs, and we're to share with God's people, with the family of God, when they do have need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. One of the most important attributes of Christianity is that we have a unity with each other. What is it Paul said in Ephesians? That we have a unity with the Spirit. If you have a unity with the Spirit, talking about God's Holy Spirit, and I have a unity with that, we'll have a proper unity with each other, and we'll live in harmony with each other. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, it says this. It gives a different side, by the way, to love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Think about that for a moment. Love is a debt. It's an obligation. Everybody who's ever signed a note on a car or a mortgage agreement and has then gone through that, we understand what it is to have an obligation or a debt. When we sign those papers, we're saying, I agree to pay this back as best I can. I'm gonna pay this back. When you become a Christian, when you've obeyed the gospel and God's added you to the church upon that obedience, you have an obligation of love to each other. And it's never paid off, by the way. We have mortgage burning ceremonies sometimes. Do they do that anymore? Has anybody paid off their mortgage? I don't know if anybody pays off their mortgage anymore, but they used to have mortgage burning ceremonies. It was a big deal. People would have a barbecue and they'd invite the neighborhood over and they would celebrate one with another. Sometimes I'm afraid that we have our debt of love burning ceremony to where we feel like I've gone far enough now with my church family. I don't have have to do anything more for them. That is an outstanding debt, this debt of love, and it's a pleasant one. Romans 10, verse 13 may be one of the most important ones here. And so let's go back to verse 10 and catch the context of this. Romans 14, we'll start in verse 10. "You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? We'll all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God." I believe we need to have that picture in mind from time to time, especially when we get too caught up in this world. We will kneel before God someday. And the only thing that's going to matter at that point is, are we saved? Are you saved? "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way." The idea is this. We can notice when our brothers and sisters are struggling with sin. How else can we help them? A family that does not notice when one of the children or when one of your brothers or sisters is involved with something that they shouldn't be isn't much of a family. A family that doesn't try and help one another really isn't acting as a family. But the idea of judging one another is the idea of taking God's place in judgment. It's the idea that somehow I know you're going to hell. Or even from the other perspective, I know you're going to heaven. That's God's realm exclusively. Now, we're told in 1 John, he wrote these things that we might know that we're saved. So I'm not saying that you can't know whether you're saved or not. But this idea of judgment, especially when it comes to just assuming that somebody is lost, is forbidden. And so when it comes to the family of God, we cannot be in judgment of them. Ephesians chapter 4 now. This particular passage talks about the unity that we're to have with the Spirit. And before he says that, in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." I have to admit that this is one I struggle with. I don't struggle with the concept. I'm good with the concept. There's no ambiguity in this verse. It says to bear with one another in love. It's doing it. Sometimes we don't, what's the term that's worldly? Sometimes we don't suffer fools very well. And by that I mean if they're struggling with something, we just don't have patience for them. We're ready to just wash our hands of the whole situation and let them continue on their path to hell that we think they're on. Instead of trying to encourage somebody and lift them up and help them get on the right path, we would rather berate them and gossip about them and slander them and wish them ill. We would rather them be out of our presence so we don't have to worry about them anymore disturbing our harmony. This says to bear with one another in love. It's the idea that just as you and I have had struggles in the past that God has had to forgive us of when we have repented, That we too need to be bearing with others, rooting for them, hoping that they get on the right path for this. And this, I think, verse 3, by the way, says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit." Sometimes we're too quick to fracture that unity. But this part, bearing with one another in love, is very closely associated with the idea of encouragement. But before we go to that, let me touch on Ephesians 4, verse 32, because I think this is a critical part of the church family. It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." If we can't be kind to our fellow Christians, I have an idea it's because we're not grateful for what God has done for us. Might even be that we might think that we're better than somebody else, that they're more in need of Christ's shed blood than we were. What a shame when we can't be kind to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. That compassion, there ought to be a hurting within us when we see somebody is struggling and a desire to help them get up. I realize there are times when somebody's in the middle of sin where they're very high-handed about it and very belligerent about it, and we cannot condone that. That's not what the command is about. The command is trying to help somebody back on the right path in a kind way and with the compassion that Christ showed for us. Now, just a couple more verses and we're going to close, but I want to get to the encouragement part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. This is good for Christians to remember. This is good for parents to remember. This is good for employers to remember and fellow workers to remember. Everybody needs an attaboy or an attagirl. We grow by that. It is like fuel. It's like water on a hot day. We need people coming to us and saying, oh, good job. You did a really... And by the way, I'm not fishing for compliments after the service. You don't have to come up and say it was a good sermon. just appreciate the verses. But we do need to be thinking about that. I always had really good success with the basketball teams I coached when I remembered to encourage them rather than to discourage. We've all seen that where a coach will just drive somebody's self-worth into the ground. That's poor coaching, but it is absolutely forbidden Christianity. We're to encourage one another. Do we point out where people could improve? Of course we do, but that's part of encouragement. It says encourage each other and build each other up. We want to leave people in a better place than they were before they came across us. And understand the difference between encouragement and flattery. Flattery is a part truth with a big lie involved with it. The Old Testament says that God will cut off flattering lips. We're not talking about just saying somebody to pump them up in a false way. We're talking about this encouragement that is so vital. A couple more verses and we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. One of the things that families do for each other is to encourage each other, and it's on a daily basis. We need it on a daily basis. The reason we meet together and not alone is because of that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Do we think about that when we come to the worship? We encourage each other by our presence, it's true. But do you think about ways that you might encourage each other? And finally, we will make the full circle. 2 John chapter 5 and verse 6. Remember in John, which occurred about 50 years prior to the writing of 2 John, where Jesus said, I'm giving you a new command, love each other as I've loved you. Now 50 years have passed, and John in 2 John chapter 5 says this through inspiration. I'm not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. When we love one another, we're going to do all these things that we've been looking at. We're going to bear with one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're not going to slander one another. We're going to try and build each other up. We're going to be kind and compassionate to one another. And when we do that, the church is worth being part of. The question is, are we doing that? Do you want to offer the invitation tonight? If you're ready to become a Christian, we are ready to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation or have any other needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?